Beth and Jeff McCord have a unique take on marriage. They use the Enneagram with the gospel to help couples understand each other. I'm super excited to welcome them to another conversation about marriage today.
Hello again, everyone. It's Steve Green, and I want to talk to you one more time about the Christian Community Credit Union's low-rate home loans. It's a little bit different product, and maybe you haven't thought about using a Christian organization to fund a loan for your home or to just make a change by refinancing. It's a great time to do it. Rates continue to drop, and home equity lines of credit are available for you right now. For this limited time, you won't have to pay any closing costs. I want to say that again because that's rare. You will not have to pay any closing costs to refinance your home. And you're going to get a free 8-piece culinary set so you can cook dinner in your new home, your newly financed home. You can just go out there and cook dinner with an 8-piece culinary set. I'm in. Send me my knives. I'm ready to go. When you bank with Christian Community Credit Union, your money helps churches and ministries thrive. You see, that's the importance of this organization. You can get loans anywhere. Lots of banks will refinance. But here, you're contributing to a ministry, to a church organization that's here to help churches and help ministries. So don't miss out on this great rate for a new member welcome certificate. For more details, you can visit mycccu.com/CPN. Here it is again. Don't forget /CPN because that lets them know that we're helping them out. So here's the website, mycccu.com/CPN. And if you want to do it the old-fashioned way and talk to somebody, they're there ready to talk to you, 800-347-CCCU. And ask for extension 4445. I just like saying fours. 4445. You won't forget that now. 1-800-347-CCCU, extension 4445. Each account is insured up to $250,000. By our members' choice, this institution is not federally insured. Christian Community Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender. And they have a free book, Managing God's Money, by Randy Alcorn, when you open an account and become a member. Would you call them today or visit their website? This is mycccu.com. Christian Community Credit Union. They have a deal for you and no closing cost. God bless you.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, this has been the overflow of years of Beth and I, our hearts being impacted by Jesus, and then having this tool come along. So we are thrilled that the Lord would use our story and our experience to help so many marriages.
Well, that is actually a great launching point for me, Jeff, because what I was thinking about, I know, Beth, you guys are both Enneagram coaches, and you were kind of into the Enneagram before it became a thing, as far as I can tell. But what I'd like to hear about first, and what I think our listeners would be interested in as well, is about you. How about your own marriage? When did you meet? And just how did you even get together? How did you decide to become married?
So Beth and I met our freshman year at the University of Kansas. And I quickly fell for Beth. Matter of fact, even on our second date, I essentially proposed.
Ooh.
Without a clear proposal. Now, we were 18 at the time, but by the time we turned 20 our sophomore year, we were married.
Wow.
And we were very similar to one another. Our sense of calling and passion in life was very similar. We loved Jesus. It was going to be a part of who we were as a couple, for our family, for our ministry moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been married longer than a honeymoon, you quickly realize that what you thought was going to be a ballroom dance becomes Twister.
And oh, amen.
We started to experience turbulence. But we really loved Jesus, and we really, really loved one another.
Mm.
And over the next few years, we did campus ministry. And we enjoyed it, but we were still really struggling. Like, we would just miss each other. Mm-hmm. And So it wasn't, it was in around year six. Our son was 1 year old. We were pregnant with our second child, Libby, our daughter. And we were lost. It was coming to a point really for us. I'm in my second year of seminary and wondering, you know, is my marriage going to be a, is ministry going to be a difficult context, knowing that Beth and I were having such trouble? Now, please understand, that was my perspective of it. And that's what I didn't realize then. And Beth had a perspective as well about that challenging time. But it was during that time that someone introduced us to Richard Rohr's book on the Christian perspective of the Enneagram in the midst of having babies, working full-time, and going to seminary full-time. And that's where something, two things significantly started to happen. Our understanding of the gospel for our marriage and the understanding of the Enneagram. And thankfully, those two things really started to stick on Beth.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was, you know, around that time, I just kind of felt like we were falling into the same common pitfalls time and time again and not really understanding why and then how to navigate away from it. But when we got a hold of this book, and it's, you know, it's a really good book. I mean, over all these years, there's been some other great books that have come out that can really help explain the Enneagram. And our new book, Becoming Us, really shows a gospel-centered approach to the Enneagram. Because we really wanted to be very specific in it, in how we focus on Christ. Like, this tool is to help us understand our transformational process and how He has saved us, what He has done on our behalf. But so back in this time, Jeff kind of skimmed it, but, you know, he was in seminary full-time and worked part-time on a campus ministry with college students. So he doesn't have the same amount of time to pour much interest in it. So he thought it was, you know, interesting, but I devoured it. And for me, I found my personality kind of right away, actually. I'm a type 9, and type 9s
go type 9, go type 9.
Is that you?
Yes, I am.
That's awesome. And we don't know ourselves very well. In fact, we kind of live in this fog, and we've spent our whole lives kind of merging with others, going along to get along, to create harmony and peace. And so what I realized quickly was that's what I was doing a lot, particularly with Jeff, and then probably my kids, and then on and on.
Yes.
And it helped me to understand why we were at times struggling. One, whenever we were having some struggles, I would want to either think positive about it and not really address it, or maybe shut down or withdraw completely. Well, Jeff is a type six, and all of those things that I was doing to try to navigate around conflicts and issues was actually only stoking the fire more for him, because for him, abandonment is one of his greatest fears. So whenever I didn't engage with a situation that he felt needed to be addressed, he felt I was abandoning him. Like, this was the beginning of the end of our marriage, which I was like never thinking in that direction. And that's where the Enneagram was really helpful for us, is because we realized we're seeing the world through different lenses and we interpret circumstances differently. And so his interpretation of our struggles was that we were really stuck and there wasn't much traction happening. But for me, I didn't see it as big of a deal. One, nines kind of think more optimistically. Yeah. And I probably didn't really want to address the issues because that just creates conflict and tension, which is one of our greatest fears. So once we started over time to realize that we saw this differently, it helped us to have, well, one, compassion and empathy and more understanding for one another, but also a new path to kind of navigate these conversations in a way that wasn't as much the other person's wrong and I'm right. It was more like, how can we see this together? How can we work together with our differences and how we see the world differently and love one another from a totally different perspective, which is more God-honoring and Christ-focused? So that's really kind of where we started. And, you know, we still, I mean, to this day, we still have our same hangups. It's not that I'm not a type 9 anymore, and it's not that I don't struggle with the same type 9 stuff. We'll always have our same struggles, but that's where the Enneagram is really helpful, because now I know the path I'm going to go down when I'm struggling and I'm veering off course and falling into the same common pitfalls, and where I'm at when I'm more at my best or being more aligned with Christ. And so we use the Enneagram, we tell people, like an internal GPS, where here's our current location, your main Enneagram type, and then here's your destination, which is being more like Christ. And each type has kind of their own path. And it's not that the gospel is different. It's not that we're going to be a completely different person. But we have our own struggles that we need to focus on Christ and surrender to Him in a very unique, specific way. And if we don't, our mind and our heart can wander off so much that we fall into those same common pitfalls time and time again. So we encourage people to use the Enneagram like a rumble strip on the highway that alerts us, like, hey, if you keep thinking this way or behaving this way and interacting this way, you're going to land into that same common pitfall, which is so helpful because we all kind of throw our hands up and go, how did I get here again? And then usually what happens is we heap self-condemnation, fear, and shame on ourselves, or we shift the blame onto others. Either way, that's not God-honoring and Christ-like. Whereas now we can go, praise be to God that there's now no more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Though I fell into the same common pitfall, I'm still His beloved child. So I don't have to have condemnation, fear, and shame. I can own it, accept it, repent from it, and ask for forgiveness, and allow Him to get me back onto the right trajectory, which is towards Him, becoming more like Him. And only He can do that in and through me. I can't pull up my, you know, self, up my boots, you know, up and figure it out on my own. I have to have Him work in and through me. And that's where the surrender and dependency comes in. So these are the things, like, kind of in a nutshell, that we've learned along the way that we still are literally doing every single day. So we are, I don't want people out there going, what you preach. Yeah. You know, it's not like we've done this for 18, 19 years where we're like, oh, we've got it figured out. Like, we all are sinners. And by God's grace, He keeps renewing us every single day. His mercies are new every single morning. So anyway, that's in a nutshell kind of where we've been and still where we're at today.
Yeah, I love that. Well, what you're sharing, there's just Jesus and gospel all over this. And I have to tell you that that's what was attractive to me about your approach as I thought about our listeners. And one of the things I'm going to ask you, I'm sure you've heard this before, it even came up on a writer's loop I'm a part of just this week. Out there is criticism of the Enneagram because of maybe it has a basis in a cult, maybe it has a basis in paganism, and people are concerned about that. So there's that, but then there's also, as I said, it's kind of the new cool personality type instrument or GPS or however. So, but from what I read from you, you strongly emphasize gospel-centered, gospel-focused, using the Bible. So anyway, how do you put all that together? Like I said, I'm sure I'm not the first person who's asked, but I do kind of have to ask.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm super thankful that you're willing to ask, because it is a question. And to be honest with you, we had the same concerns early on as well. One, I mean, the image itself kind of looks like a pentagram, and there were a lot of different teachers from a variety of different worldviews that were teaching the Enneagram. And so here's our understanding of it, that it is true that the two men who had the most influence on its modern-day expression were not Christians.
Okay.
They were more probably categories like Eastern mystics.
Mm-hmm.
And they describe their inspirational experience according to that worldview.
Okay.
But I think what Christians tend to miss is that this is not like Joseph Smith receiving a message,
the golden
and
tablets,
creating a religion. That's right. This is more a professor with an idea teaching their students, and their students adding to, subtracting from, or teaching it differently. And so it doesn't have the same kind of authority that people are giving the original creators of it, because what's happened since that time is that different teachers have taught from their worldview, meaning what they believe the condition of man is, what's his fallen state, what's the remedy, and what's the hope to come. And so for Beth and I, we have taken the categories and the framework of the Enneagram, we have either reframed, redefined, or removed anything that doesn't align with a Christian worldview of how did God make us, what is our problem, what is the solution, and what is our hope to come. While we can still hold the use the Enneagram with integrity as a system, we can also teach it from our worldview.
Exactly.
And so there's no mystical practice. There's no authoritative text. This is not a religion. This is simply a psychological tool that can be taught from a variety of worldviews.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you for clarifying that. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Now on to what we're really talking about, which is how it can help marriage. You told us about how it helped your specific marriage. What about other people? Beth, I know you've been coaching this, and Jeff, maybe this for you too, I just don't know, for many years. Tell me some, maybe I guess you would say some success stories. You figured out this helped you. How has it helped other people in their marriages?
Yeah, so around 2006-07, Jeff was an assistant pastor or associate pastor up in Normal, Illinois, and we had started using the Enneagram in a much more profound way in our own marriage. But we loved kind of working with people, you know, sharing the gospel and mentoring them and such. And so we kind of realized, wow, this has had such a big impact on us. What if we use this in those that we are working with? And so some were individuals and then some were couples. And so we saw the same results for either. And what we would do is we'd have them sit at our kitchen table and we would talk about life, you know, and really guide them into very specific ways. But what we also realized is that marriages really were starting to flourish. And so, you know, what we would kind of see is that when we would kind of pull back and get to know their personality style on a deeper level, what we saw was there were certain patterns and attributes that was blocking them from seeing the gospel in its fullness. So really allowing the gospel to hit them at their deepest core. And then what we saw was that a lot of times couples are trying to get that longing from their spouse or kids or careers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And we all do that. It's Jeremiah 2:13, where God says that we have forsaken him, the spring of living water, and we have turned from that and dug our own cisterns that can't hold water. So our kids, our spouses, all these things that are meant to be good, because of the fall, they've become cisterns or clay pots or wells that are broken, that don't hold water. And we keep trying to fill it up, but just like if you're trying to put coffee into a coffee mug that's broken, it's not going to stay full.
We
get frustrated. Yeah, we get frustrated. So I would get frustrated with Jeff, like, why can you not give me fulfillment in my core longing? And each of us feels that way. And so then we start blaming others or blaming ourselves on and on. So what we started to notice was, the first and foremost is that Christ satisfies that core longing. And when we started to put those things together and to help each spouse to see how they're trying to get something from the other spouse that they just can't, even if they tried their hardest, they cannot fulfill it. Mm-hmm. Then we said, if you would just turn to the spring of living water and allow him to fulfill that core longing that you have, you will be satiated and you can have as much as you want. It's a spring. You can have as much as you want. And so then when your spouse tries to give a little bit, you're going to be like, that's amazing because you're already filled. You're already satiated. And so it's a totally different perspective than if you come parched and in a drought and you're trying to get something from your spouse and all they have is like a tiny little cup of water. That's just not going to do it. And so we really started to implement some of these ideas with the people we would be meeting with and coaching along. And so as we started to coach them in this way, they would go to Christ and get fulfilled with what he had to offer them. And then they were able to actually move towards their spouse in a new way that brought a lot of renewal, empathy, compassion, and love in their relationship. Jeff, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, well, I can give you an illustration of what this looks like. So let's take a couple that we know. They're a type 2 and a type 5. The type 5's career, it's the husband. He travels a lot. He is often in his head a lot of thinking, a lot of researching.
Mm-hmm.
He works alone, but then he'll go out for these trips to speak. And so relationally, he gives a lot on those trips. When he comes home as a type five, he's ready to rest.
Sure.
To detach, to kind of move away, to re-energize. But his type two spouse has missed him. And she wants to engage. She wants to connect. She wants to dial in on what all of his experiences are.
Yes.
And so when he comes in and he's wanting rest, which is a good desire,
mm-hmm.
and she's wanting connection, which is a great desire.
Sure.
They would miss each other because the more passion she brought to wanting to connect, the more overwhelmed he would feel as a type five. And so they would miss each other where he's like, why can't you just give me a break? And she's saying, why can't we connect with one another? You've been gone.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes it led to them both moving away from one another, but more out of resentment, frustration, and disappointment versus seeing it through the lens of the Enneagram. And so because of the Enneagram, I mean, they've been married for a number of years, so they would say, you know, I wish we knew this 40 years ago when we got married. But now that they have the language of the Enneagram, they can see, number one, that their need for connection and for rest will fundamentally come through Christ. It's not going to come through one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that although our spouse is a gift in that regard, they're not the ultimate resolution to our need. Number two, what they were able to realize is that something was happening for the husband on these trips about him being a five, that if the wife, the two, wanted to connect, if she could give him a break, if she could serve and yield for maybe a day and give him a break,
mm-hmm.
he will come back to her. It's going to feel like a sacrifice, like a loss to her, but if she can wait, he will return. And I think for him, too, that when he comes home, what they ended up doing is reversing the conversation. So it was less about him having to come through for her, and he began asking questions about what happened for her while he was gone. So she's still getting connection, but it's not in the way that she was expecting it. And so rather than demanding one another come through, they actually found they were able to transcend the argument using the tool of the Enneagram to understand what was happening in one another's heart and to come up with new strategies for them to connect with one another.
Yeah, I think I'm really starting to see how the Enneagram is the tool, but the goal is the marriage and Jesus in the marriage, the gospel through the marriage. So you can't, without that, then mm-hmm. it just kind of falls flat. It's
awesome. Yeah, I usually just let people know that the Enneagram is like a flashlight that illuminates your heart's condition.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to know, kind of like an x-ray, if you are aligned, misaligned, or out of alignment with the truth of the gospel. So, you know, now if we're in Christ, we're always in Christ. We're not saying that, you know, if you're out of alignment with the truth of the gospel, that you're no longer his. That's not what we're saying. We're saying
yes.
Our mind and our heart can tend to wander and think, I need to control things. Is God really there? And sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it because our heart, you know, is deceitful above all things. So the Enneagram is like that flashlight or that x-ray that allows us to know where's our heart condition, because that's what God cares about, is our heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't to put a flashlight on it so that, again, we have self-condemnation and fear and shame. That is not the point. The point is the opposite, is to allow us to understand where we're at, to then surrender and depend on the truth of the gospel, which is Christ working in and through us to bring us back into alignment with him. Only he's the one that's going to do that absolute transformative power in our heart to become more like him. But if we think we could do it ourselves, we're just going to become more misaligned. And
mm-hmm.
so we want to use this as a tool to like turn on a light and say, where is my heart today? Where am I at? Or why did I get so frustrated? Or, wow, I really feel like this freedom and this, energy, and I feel like I'm glowing, but I feel like I'm doing things that are really hard. What's going on? Well, I'm growing. I'm growing more in my likeness in Christ, and this is the path it looks like. It's hard because all growth is hard.
Yes.
But man, it feels great. And so the Enneagram is going to show all of that positive all the way to the negative, but the negative is not there, again, for condemnation. It is there to point you back
to move
to Christ.
Because
the gospel, yeah, because the gospel is the transformation. The Enneagram is just a tool.
I love that. Now, you guys have a whole book about this called Becoming Us and emphasizing who, as you understand, I know I'm going to say this and probably not the way you would, but understanding who you are, who your spouse is by understanding these types, and then moving, just like what you described about your marriage, toward becoming who God really wants you to be and seeing who that is in light of the gospel and using using these personality types as a tool. So, like I said, you have this whole book, but we only have a short podcast. Can you give say three of your best tips or takeaways for using the gospel-centered Enneagram to do in your marriage what Jesus would want? What would those top tips be?
Yeah, Jeff, I'll let you answer that one.
Pastors are good with like 3 points, right? I think that's a special part of seminary. You don't have to add the poem, but
exactly. Yes, so he's got 3 points always ready to go,
and they all start with the same letter.
It's a spiritual gift. That's how you know if you're.
I have an MDiv too, so I've got this training.
Yeah, I'm trying to think in regards to 3 points what those might be.
Think of the infinity loop. And when you get activated in your heart, whether positively or negatively, you have seen that circumstance from your personality perspective. And your spouse or your friend or your parent or coworker, whoever it is you're in a relationship with, has also seen that circumstance from their perspective and their story. Now, when you have been activated, whether positively or negative, there are going to be certain behaviors that come out of that. And when those behaviors come out, then the person you're in relationship with, they're going to interpret it from their lens. And they're only going to see what came out. So the heart's condition comes out. So let's say you had a certain behavior, and that's going to land on them in a certain way. And they might start assuming, whether correctly or incorrectly, what you meant or what was going on for you. And let's say they do it incorrectly because they are a different personality style,
yes,
and they start assuming incorrectly, and then they're going to behave or say or do out of their assumption. So I think a big thing that we've really encouraged people in moving forward with this tool is so often we commit a suicide where we are assuming incorrectly other people's thoughts, feelings, and motives. And then we live out those assumptions, which can harm and even destroy relationships. Whereas we really hope that people will take the time to, one, get to know their own heart when their heart is doing well, all the way to not doing well, and bring that under the headship of Christ.
Mm.
But not only that, to realize that other people are having the same struggles of life from their own personality perspective, the way they see the world differently. And to, instead of demanding that others come through for you or to live perfectly, to have empathy, compassion, and ask clarifying questions. Like, hey, when you said that, it landed on me in this particular way.
Yes.
I heard it this way, but maybe that's not what you were intending. Could you bring some clarity as to what perspective you were coming from? And just asking those clarifying questions can open up relationships in a whole new and dynamic way. But even we, instead of asking clarifying questions, sometimes Jeff and I will give clarifying statements. I know that I might need to say something that could possibly land on his personality in a certain way that I'm not intending. So I might say, hey, I'm going to say this one thing, but I'm really coming at it from this particular angle, maybe versus what you might typically assume. And so that gives him a heads up to kind of maybe allow his heart to settle a little bit, to not be maybe on guard. And then we can start to have that dialogue. So these are some tools that we give in the book to have conversations on a deeper level where you guys are really there. You're still there to support and love one another, but always both of you focusing on Christ and what he has ultimately done for you personally, but also for the marriage. And so those are some things that we would just highlight in how to come along and support one another with those clarifying questions and clarifying statements.
I love that. It reminds me of a soft answer turns away wrath, and you're sort of making it soft by your questions or your explanations before you speak. You're kind of preparing the way. Jeff, I know you were about to say something. I don't want to cut you off.
Well, to summarize it, the way that I think of like three easy steps for couples would be this. Number one, with our book, you're going to be able to know yourself. And that was what David was praying in Psalm 139, search me and know me. I don't understand my own heart, and I need the Spirit's help to discern what's happening inside of me. Now, the Enneagram is going to give you a framework for understanding what it looks like when your heart's in line with the truth of the gospel and it's not. Mm-hmm. But until we first must do our own work to know what's happening in our heart, to understand what's happening in our relationships. Number two, the book's going to help you to understand or know your spouse. Your spouse lives life with different glasses on than you do. They see the world, they process the world, they respond to the world radically different than you. So you may think, sure, I would never say something like that. And then if you were to ask them questions as to why they did it, you would understand why for them that was a reasonable thing to do.
Exactly.
You may never have thought that way. But by understanding your spouse's type, you're going to understand them and that things become less volatile or personal with you because you'll just be honoring the difference. And then number three is knowing us. And that is when two Enneagram types come together, something magical and something problematic happens.
Okay.
So, and here's the assurance. God loves your marriage more than you do. He is committed to your marriage more than you are. And so when you came together in God's providence, you were intended to be an instrument of his grace in one another's lives. And so there are certain things that are going to be made known just by being in a relationship with one another, where you are going to be able to enhance one another's growth in Christ. And number two, your spouse is going to be an instrument that's going to reveal your need for Jesus. And in both of those themes, by putting your faith working itself out in love, we actually can become more like Christ. But it begins with understanding ourselves and understanding our spouse, and then allowing that relationship to do what God designed it to do, and that's help us to conform to the image of Christ.
Amen. I thank you so much. I'm just beginning to explore the Enneagram, but again, I'm really in love with your gospel focus on this, and I think it's such a great way to point people to using this tool in a positive way. So thank you, guys. And I have one more question. I would love it if you would pray for our listeners before we close out here.
Absolutely.
Sure, I'd love to do that.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for being such a good father. Thank you for being a father who has given us your son, that we are never so bad that we are beyond the reach of your grace, and we are never so good that we don't have need for your son Jesus. And you resolved the ache in our heart in your son. Thank you for giving us your word that reminds us of the truth of what you've accomplished in Jesus. And not only that, but you've also given us your Spirit, who reminds us of all of the promises that are yes and amen in Jesus.
Yeah.
So that means, Father, that no matter where we're at with our spouse, that we have hope. We have hope that you can bring about something and that you intend to glorify yourself through the work of the gospel in our lives. So we simply ask, do what you've already promised and committed yourself to do.
Yes.
Change us. Conform us to the image of your Son, Father, that our marriages could reflect how much you love and are committed to your church. And because we know that we can't accomplish these things without your help, Father, please pour out your Spirit. Please, Father, pour out your love, your compassion, your grace, the forbearance with one another, mm-hmm. that we could reflect Christ, not only to one another, but to our culture, to our community, to our churches. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen and amen. Jeff and Beth, again, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for the great tips. I feel like we packed a ton into, as I said, it was only a brief podcast, but you really packed a lot in there. So I know this is going to be a value, and I know it's going to change marriages. So thank you again. And listeners, we thank you too for joining us on our conversation with marriage with Jeff and Beth McCord.